to boldly go. By way of introduction, we're going to be thinking about the night sky. That was kind of important for the three wise men, or however wise men there were. Right, we'll get sorted in a moment. I've always been fascinated by space. You know, that's why we had the title To Boldly Go As No Man Has Gone Before. And I guess you probably, most of you will probably know what TV program that was. I was brought up in what was often described as the space age. There were constant space stories, and you know, there was the sort of space race, Americans and Russians, who would get to the moon first. And I can remember being in primary school and being told by one of my uncles that the Russians had launched this satellite that was orbiting the Earth. Now, I'm sure he was pulling my leg, but I believed it at the time. He said, if you look up in the night sky, you should be able to see Sputnik orbiting the Earth. Well, of course, you can't, though actually people did with their telescopes manage to spot this first satellite. You might remember. But I was absolutely fascinated as a kid about the Gemini missions and the Apollo missions. And I can remember bunking off school to see the first man walking on the moon as well. And the world, is even today, I think, is fascinated with space. So let's have a picture of space. Well, you won't see that on the night sky, but you would if you had a telescope. That's a galaxy, not where Star Wars is being filmed, but it's a galaxy far, far away for us. The Bible also has a certain fascination about not only the night sky, but the heavenly realm. I remember when I was a boy, my parents who lived in Cardiff, they moved out into the countryside, and I think the first time in my life, I looked up and I saw, where there's no street lights, saw the display of the night sky, and it was staggering. I can remember being in the back lawn, looking up, and the next thing I remember, I'd fallen down onto the grass, because I was just looking around up there. And I'm so staggered, I didn't realize that, you know, I lost my balance. The night sky is immense and amazing. And there was a king, we mentioned already, David, who said that, we'll ask the question about, as he was looking up to the sun and the moon and the stars, and he said to God in prayer, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Well, the Bible is full of these things, and especially the Christmas story has angels, as we've been seeing, that come to visit Mary and Joseph. But there's also the star, which we often call the Star of Bethlehem, and those wise men. Now, let me just begin to think about the wise men this morning. And say this, that the wise men are very wise. Now, that's a stupid statement, if ever there was one. If they're wise men, they've got to be wise, haven't they? But the wise men are very wise, because in discovering that there was something unusual in the night sky, discovering this star, whatever it was, there's some debate whether this was a comet or a supernova, an exploding star, or whatever it was, they ask the right question. And the right question was not why or how. Why did this star appear? Or how did this star appear? But rather, what was behind this? The what or the who is this star all about? Who is this star for? And we get an answer. Let's look to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, And there the wise men are saying, where is he? They've traveled from the east. They probably traveled some months to get there. They've arrived, been guided by this star, to Judea. They went to the biggest city, Jerusalem. And quite naturally, if you were thinking that the star was about was a star because there was a special king being born, you would go to a palace, wouldn't you? That's where you would find a prince or a future king. And so they've gone to to Jerusalem. They've gone to the king, and they're asking the question, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. They ask the question, who is this star for? The special king they've come to worship. Now, I want to suggest to you that these wise men 2,000 years ago are much wiser than some of the wise men that we have in our own day and age. And I'll demonstrate this to you in a minute. But let me tell you of an event that probably, hopefully, will take place on December the 22nd, about 12 o'clock our time, from British Guiana, which is in, I believe, South America. And there'll be a rocket that will be blasting off and carrying a space telescope. Now, this space telescope, I don't know if you've detected this on the news items, but this space telescope is called the James Webb Space Telescope, which is a bit of a mouthful, and they've called it JWST. That's what they're calling it. But it's the James Webb Space Telescope. Let me just tell you a little bit about this James Webb Telescope. It's taken about 10 years to build and to plan and to build this thing. And it's going to be bigger and better than any other space telescope that they've managed to launch into space. It's going to be better than the Hubble telescope. And the Hubble telescope did all these fantastic pictures, didn't it, of various galaxies. And scientists have got really excited about the pictures that they were coming from the Hubble. Well, they're expecting this to be even better than that. Now, this particular space telescope is costing £15 billion. £15 billion they're going to launch into space. And they hope that it will orbit the Earth 1,500 kilometers above the surface of the Earth. And that's quite important because it's got to be perfect because they haven't got the capability of tinkering around with it and putting it right. Remember when the Hubble Space Telescope launched, there was something wrong with the mirror. But it was in a lower orbit. It was near the International Space Station. They could send out the space shuttle. They could, I'm not sure they actually polished the mirror, but they did something to the mirror that enabled it to actually send back the pictures. Well, they can't do this with this telescope. It had to be absolutely perfect. Now, I've got a picture, this is, I think, a sketch of what it's going to look like. 1,500 kilometers orbiting the Earth. It's a very strange thing, isn't it? And what's happening is that when they launch it into space on the 22nd of December, it's going to take a month for all the bits and pieces of this space telescope to sort of unfold itself so that it will look like this in space. Now, it's got to do a number of things. One of the things that they hope it will be able to do with all its instruments is that it will be able to detect planets that are orbiting a different sun, or a different star. And they think with their instruments, they will be able to detect the atmosphere of these planets that are orbiting these different stars. Because what they're trying to find, I guess, is a planet that might have an atmosphere like planet Earth. They get quite excited when there's a planet with oxygen and nitrogen and so on like that, and not too much carbon dioxide. And we have a problem with carbon dioxide in our planet, don't we? But that's one of the things they hope that this space telescope will do. They're also going to look for distant galaxies, perhaps more distant than Hubble is able to detect. I mean, Hubble telescope has detected so many galaxies. When I was finishing my university degree, I was told by certain professors that there were only 8 galaxies in the universe. Now they're talking about tens or hundreds of thousands of galaxies, because it's being revealed by the Hubble telescope, isn't it? And they're hoping that they'll find even more. And that's a reminder to me that the universe is infinite, or it seems that way, doesn't it? But the big thing that they're really getting excited about, which I must confess I'm not too excited about, but they are, is that they hope by using this telescope, they can, and it's using a bit of physics, they hope to be able to see the beginnings of creation. They want to see, if they can, using this telescope, what they think will be the Big Bang. And so the scientists are hoping that this telescope will just show them how the universe came into being. They want to try to answer the how and the why questions. But you know, those are the wrong questions to ask. Because the right question is, who? Who created the universe? And we don't really need millions of pounds or billions of pounds in order to get an answer to that. All you have to do is open your Bibles, and the Bible will tell you who created the universe. And the answer is Jesus, that same baby that was born in Bethlehem, laid in that manger, is the one who the Bible says created all things. And we have a scripture for that. That's John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Now, in this reading, when we read the word, word, that's Jesus. That's what the Bible is talking about when the Bible talks about the word. He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So that third verse, all things were made through him. All things are made through Jesus. And that's possible because Jesus is the Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. And without him, nothing was made that was made. But let's move on. Let's ask a question this morning. Why did Jesus come to earth as a baby? If Jesus is the one who made all things and nothing was made that has been made other than through Jesus, why did Jesus come to earth as a baby? Well, when God made the universe, he made it perfect. But then people, that's you and I, rebelled against God. We disobeyed God. And then the creation in which we live became imperfect. And since that time, all kinds of things have gone wrong. And we live in a world which is not perfect. If you only listen to the news day by day, you'll hear about hurricanes and tornadoes and typhoons, and you hear about earthquakes and volcanic activity. You know, and we know this very well, don't we? We know about diseases. It's not a perfect world. But then we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. We can do bad things. And some human beings do more bad things than others. But we all, to a certain extent, do bad things, don't we? But when Jesus came into this world, what he came into the world to do, and he did it at the cross at Calvary, was to put right what we have made wrong. So let's go back to the wise men. The wise men knew that the baby was special. They obviously knew that, because why come all those hundreds of miles, thousands of miles? People think that possibly that they were in what would now be modern day Iraq, and they've traveled weeks after week after week to come to give gifts to a special baby, a special king. They obviously thought that this baby that was born, whose star they saw in the night sky, was special. And this is what they thought. Verse 10 and verse 11. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, some months have passed since the baby Jesus has been born, so it's very unlikely that the shepherds and the wise men had actually met each other, as we see in the Christmas cards, but some months later they had come into the house where there was Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were gifts fit for a king, weren't they? So they considered this baby so special that they traveled all that way, they fell down and worshipped this baby, and they gave expensive, very expensive gifts to him. Now, because of Jesus, God wants us to be part of his family and to live with him forever in heaven. But the next point is this: how can we do that? It's the question, how? How can we be with God? How can we live with Jesus forever and ever? When God is perfect, God is holy, Jesus is perfect, Jesus is holy, and yet we know that we are not perfect. We know that each and every one of us has done something wrong. The Bible tells us that no one is good enough to be with God. But because Jesus came on earth, he came not simply to be a baby born in a stable in Bethlehem. He came to die in our place on a cross. And by doing that, he became our substitute. Upon him, the wrath of God for sin was poured down upon him at the cross at Calvary. And he paid for our sins. He paid for all the bad things that we've done. He paid for our rebellions against God. But how do we respond to what Jesus has done for us? Well, I suggest we ought to respond in the same way that the wise men responded. We need to see for ourselves that Jesus is special. We need to believe in him as our King and to worship him as our Lord. Let me take you back to the wise men. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10. When they saw the star, they knew what the star was signifying. It was signifying the special king, the special baby. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And the next verse tells us that when they saw the baby, they fell down and they worshipped him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story, or this part of the story of Christmas, the story of the wise men coming, knowing who they were coming to see a special king, a special promised king. We thank you, Lord, for the way that they saw this baby as special. They believed in him as the king and savior. We thank you for the gifts that they were able to give to Jesus. But we praise you, more importantly, that recognizing who Jesus was, they fell down and worshipped him. And we pray, Father, that 2,000 years later, we all might be those who see Jesus as our King, that we see Jesus as our special and only Savior, and that we too will worship him as the one and only way to heaven and the one and only sacrifice for our sins so that we can be with you in heaven. We pray all these things then in Jesus' name. Amen.